This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Are you ready to log in?
You talking to me?
Yeah. Are you ready to log in? Are you ready to log in?
No, someone had an interesting weekend, I take it.
Well, it's Monday. I'm trying to get back in the game here.
But it's not Monday. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. That's right. Actually, it's whatever day listeners of New Rainmaker are listening to this.
What is it that you like to say? Wherever and whenever you are?
Out there on the internet, yes.
That's right. That's your phrase.
We've been talking about this logged in experience. We're doing a mini series. This is number two in a mini series of looking at membership sites. And we also have a nice little surprise today, Mr. Clark. And that is somebody joining us from the well-known Mainframe podcast on the Rainmaker FM podcast network. That's Chris Garrett, our chief digital officer. Chris, did you make it in?
I am the token geek today.
Token geek. Token,
you're always the token geek.
Good way to look at it, yeah. How's
actually, remember in Office Space when the one guy that they're like, could you tell us what you do? And he like walks the plans to the engineers from the customers, and then it turns out he actually has his secretary do it, and he doesn't do anything. That's Garrett. No, that's not Garrett. That actually, Garrett wishes that was his job. It's a little more complicated though. But he does translate for us quite well.
I don't think there's anything in this company that you don't have your hands in some way, right, Chris?
I just interfere in everybody else's business.
Right. Hey, real quick, how's the Mainframe going over there? You and Tony Clark, our chief operating officer, are co-hosting the Mainframe. How's things over there?
We're having a lot of fun, and we've had some nice feedback. I'd like to unseat Mr. Damien, but we're doing quite well, I think.
Join the club.
I know. That guy, he's rogue.
You know, I was thinking, you do have direct access to the servers, or at least the folks that do, right?
Wait a minute, Robert. You want to fix the stats. You don't want to just kick him off because, actually, we could just kill his show, but I don't think that would be in our best interest.
Delete. Well, for those of you who are fans of Chris, which are many, you should go over to mainframe.fm, check out what he and Tony are doing over there. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us today. We've got some good questions for you, too. But we're, like I said, we're continuing this mini series on the idea of membership sites. And Brian, we started last week with your idea of, or the general idea of this logged in experience. And one thing that struck me towards the end of that episode, you talked about the true nature of a site like Facebook. We think of it as a social media site, which it certainly is, social networking site. But you argue that the real nature of it is a membership site, which I'd never really thought of before, if I'm honest. But we opened up with this idea of the logged in experience, and there's several aspects of that. Why don't we do a quick little recap?
Yeah. So we talked about Facebook. You know, basically you have to register to gain access. If you're not logged in, your experience is not the same. So in essence, it operates like a membership site, even though it's primarily a social network. I've actually got an even better example for you this week, which we'll get to in a second, kind of tied in into some recent news. But the basic premise, and this is something we acted on in 2013 when we shifted our email strategy, was that the advent and the mainstreaming of social media, the proliferation of apps, and certain sites that deliver premium content, whether paid or free, have kind of transformed the way we think about the online experience. And that really comes into this, whether you're logged in or not, whether you're registered for access or you're not. And I think we did cover some of the psychological aspects of that, and we can go fairly deep down that rabbit hole, but you kind of get the idea that, you know, what is it? Fear of missing out is like the dark side of social media, that you're always worried something's happening that's cooler than what you're doing. I think there is some aspect of that, this velvet rope syndrome, that when you interact with a site and you realize that there's an experience waiting that requires registration, that is much more compelling than opt-in or just, for most situations, just a newsletter. You know, there's got to be more. I mean, we've known this for years with the whole ethical bribe, free ebook stuff that kind of isn't as effective anymore. But I think things have shifted to a new level. So yeah, let me give you some examples about this that kind of build on what we talked about last week. So membership sites have always kind of been seen as, I mean, they've been around since the 90s, started off in the seedier side of the internet, and then slowly made themselves into a mainstream concept. And I think that's the important lesson here. But I saw something really interesting from Forrester, who obviously reports on the enterprise level, and that big companies have grown completely disenchanted with social media. Number one, I think it's fair to say a lot of them took the wrong approach for about 5 to 7 years there, as far as trying to treat the outer fringes of the audience like they were in a ready to be, you know, converted mode, as in become our customer, you know, after you gave us a Facebook like. Didn't really work that way. That's a very cold relationship. It still counts as part of the audience. But until you bring them in closer to you, you're not going to get the kind of response you want. And number two, of course, is that email is 40 times more effective for converting into sales than social media. That's pretty huge right there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But so, you know, we've got the Zuckerberg bait and switch. You got to pay on Facebook to reach your audience. On Twitter, it's not really that much better, because not everyone's paying attention at the right time. So unless you go Guy Kawasaki and tweet out 15 times in repetition, which does work, by the way, you know, it's still just kind of disenchanting, I think. So you've got these big brands who are going back old school, everything old is new again, with branded communities. Now, community has been a buzzword on the internet since the BBS days. It's always kind of been overhyped, but these branded communities are essentially what we're talking about here, in the sense that they're driving people back to their own sites. They're getting them to register to participate. Usually there's a forum involved, there's a Q&A function, there's content. Actually, when you combine all the three of them together, as this Forrester excerpt of the report reveals, we'll link to that in the show note, it goes beyond evangelism and advocacy into, you can actually convert prospects into customers. We certainly know that when you bring them in at that level, they've come on the other side of the rope. You're now able to communicate with them directly by email. So it's interesting to me, just as we're starting to really hit on this change in the way a great website should work, that the enterprise level, which is usually forever behind the rest of us, they're actually moving in this direction and having legitimate success. So there's more to this than just the scrappy small companies.
What does this mean too? I mean, that's not even to mention the idea of ownership of the community itself. You know, we all know, you mentioned the Zuckerberg.
Well, that's the point.
Right.
They're completely frustrated, and I don't blame them. And we, of course, have been preaching this ad nauseum. But I think this is a good sign, because if the enterprise is, you know, remember when Gary Vaynerchuk's book came out and he really emphasized interaction at the social level, and really that's kind of falling apart. So I think there were some very smart people with some ideas that turned out not to be right. We've always been strong on home base, own your property, bring the audience to you, you know, all of that. So we stayed the course, but I'm feeling better that there's some sanity returning to the world. You know, Facebook's going to take you for all you're worth.
Garrett, what do you think of the enterprise waking up to this idea of owning their own and developing their own branded communities?
It's like Brian just said about owning the real estate, owning the asset. But when you own the real estate, then you control what that member sees. So you can put nudges into taking actions, like they might upgrade their account or they might buy something from you, which you can't do in Facebook as well. You could do some targeted ads, but you're not in control of the experience as much as if you owned it. And if you do that well, then the social proof and the other members will actually sell for you. You don't even have to step in explicitly.
Yeah, that's a great point, because Facebook benefits from the logged in experience, not you, right? They're there. They have the user relationship. They're logged in. They get to follow them all over the place, serve them targeted ads, determine what they see in their news feed. You guys remember the psychological experiments they were basically performing on Facebook users without their knowledge. That was interesting. But yeah, so Facebook owns that relationship, and they've made that abundantly clear by saying you now get to pay us to reach that audience you built over here on our land. And again, Chris is right, because when you own the property, there's all sorts of ways to heighten the experience that you can't do otherwise.
So a very interesting purchase took place recently, and that was LinkedIn acquiring lynda.com, the massive education site. Let's talk about that for a little bit, and also what it might mean for smaller organizations.
Lynda.com has been a site that we have followed and admired since the beginning of Copyblogger. I'm pretty sure the early version of Teaching Sales pointed to Lynda as just a great learning community, and they just got so big. It's amazing. And then, of course, what was the acquisition price? $1.5 billion. That's a lot of money for a membership site, but that's exactly what happened there. So this, you know, is going to become my new example of a overall logged in experience type play. Because think about it this way. So LinkedIn has the Pulse service, which is freely available content. It started out in their influencer program, and then they opened it up to others. So you have all this freely available content that's being shared on LinkedIn, but also across the web. Then you have the original logged in experience, which is a business networking function combined with the 21st century resume, if you will. Again, you don't get to do all that stuff until you register for access and log in. But now there's another component. Now, with the addition of Lynda, they have a paid business training and lifelong learning environment that complements. I mean, something we've been talking about since 2007 is, as technology increases, as business models change, as the pace of everything intensifies, you got to be constantly learning. And so the reasoning given behind the acquisition of Lynda from LinkedIn was always be learning, which, again, another play that we did in Teaching Sales a long time ago. But, you know, this is a good thing because it legitimizes this type of non-university-backed online training. Yeah. Because I don't see any of the universities at the cutting edge. It's always been the practitioners, and that's what Lynda latched onto. So in a way, it continues to validate the people who want to make their own online courses, their own membership sites, because this is the way education happens. And so therefore, building up your own authority as a subject matter expert, or being able to produce sites that rely on the expertise of others like Lynda does, that's going to become a crucial opportunity. Lynda is not going to extinguish all the training programs out there. We already know that today. I think it just legitimizes it. But the structure is what interests me. Freely available content, an initial free logged-in experience leading to a paid logged-in experience. That's Copyblogger, My Copy Blogger and Authority. It's the exact model we've had in place for over 2 years now. Now, I'm not saying LinkedIn ripped us off, but no, I doubt that very much. I mean, this is what's happening. It's not a copy blogger thing. It's a web thing. It's an internet thing. And it's incredibly important. Chris, I mean, you've been around with us forever, both before you joined the company and then after. How do you see this all playing out?
I just look at it as your career is the ultimate fear of missing out. And if you see other people progressing in their careers past you, you're going to look at why they're getting ahead, and you're going to look at the certifications, the training, the skills on their LinkedIn profile, and you're going to want to upgrade, but you're not going to go back to university. You're going to tactically add those skills and that experience. So I think it's a really smart move, but it validates what we've been doing all these years of highly focused training from people who know what they're talking about. So you get the benefit of selling what you know. They get the benefit of all that experience and the upgrade in their career or the business. I think it's just a wonderful validation of everything we've been doing.
Yeah, and this here's another interesting thing, because I think you're right on the business front, but I read an interesting article that said relationship skills and personal development are the fastest growing segments of online education. And again, not from a university, because that stuff doesn't get taught at university. This article is kind of focused on, you know, very smart, very tech savvy people who just aren't all that great with women or men, as the case may be. And it's just become a boon for people who are into things like reading body language and, you know, all, not the shady seduction courses that we saw about 5 years ago, more legitimate stuff, but effectively the same topic when you think about it. So it's not just business.
Yeah. One thing I keep hearing more and more is this idea of my children probably will not go to college or university. But more than that, it's the idea not so much in the future of a degree that you earn from a university, but a collection of very specific skills that you bring to a project or a job. And this seems like, you know, yeah. I mean, that's lynda.com, right?
And the whole concept of just-in-time learning, too,
yeah, right.
You know. But I get what you're saying, because by the time my son, who just turned 10, is of college age, can you really afford to spend 4 years? I mean, on one hand, yes, I want him to get a true classical liberal education so he can learn how to think, right, and how to create and expand his knowledge. But the stuff that's going to get him a job is probably not going to come from there.
Okay, so what does this mean? Maybe a couple of ideas for, you know, smaller organizations that are not in the $1.5 billion acquisition game.
Well, look, this goes back to the 400% increase in email opt-ins, you know, effectively by switching away from opt-in and going to a content library concept on My Copy Blogger. We've now kind of refined that with the new Rainmaker free course, to where we're actually using, instead of a collection of ebooks, we've gone to a dripped out online course where the lessons come every few days. And that was phenomenal. That actually was a big part of the launch of the Rainmaker platform. So we're getting more sophisticated in how we're thinking about it. And a lot of what we talk about on the show going forward will be what we're doing and how you can do it as well, because the tech is getting easy. It just comes down to strategy and what works and what doesn't. So rule number one is still build your email list, but doing this whole concept as one project is going to build your email list faster, and you're going to be in a position to do some really cool stuff that you wouldn't be able to do with your email list alone. I know Mr. Garrett is quite smart on this topic.
I think one of the basic things that we've seen is the difference between a library and a course is a library will get people to join, a course will get people to stick around. So part of growing an email list is keeping people on that list, keeping them engaged, keeping them interested, keeping them looking forward to the future of what's coming next. Because otherwise you get a high conversion rate, but then you lose everybody within the first week. you need to keep them sticking around long term and actually engaging with you more and building a relationship with you.
I will say that we didn't experience that problem with My Copy Blogger because it was the ebook library plus a dripped out course. But that was the old school way. We just delivered it by email. With New Rainmaker, we did it the more sophisticated way. And now with the addition of the marketing automation / adaptive content features, it's going to get even more personalized, interactive, and effective, frankly.
Speaking of engagement and continued engagement, Brian, you've been talking about the first, the first major transformation of Further.net. And it seems that it has everything to do with interactivity.
Yeah, so Further.net, for those who are not up to speed on that, has started out as a curated email newsletter. Very simple, in a topic that I have no known authority on, and I'm quite candid about that. Started it over 3 months ago, and it's funny because the issue this week basically points out the power of teaching as a way to learn and how it, the act of retrieval and elaboration in the scientific parlance, really makes you learn stuff for real, as opposed to the illusion of mastery that you get. Maybe you read a book 3 times and you're like, I must have this down. Studies show actually you probably don't, you know, because simple rereading doesn't really go over it. Anyway, long and short, I've been doing this curated newsletter. The features are usually me explaining something I learned from a book, intensified learning. So it's weird how curation can make you an authority when you weren't before by the simple act of explaining things to an audience. I mean, when you really think about it, what does Malcolm Gladwell do? He takes all these really dense research abstracts and reports. He boils it down for the layperson. He makes it engaging and entertaining. And then he goes and gives speeches for $100,000 a pop on this stuff that he taught himself by writing a book. It's the exact same principle. Anyone can become an expert on anything. And my favorite way to do it is not to write a book. It's to drip out content on a regular basis. Anyway, so that's what it started with. Now that we do have the LMS, and you know, we've already got the membership features, and now we have marketing automation features, what I'm looking to do is make Further go beyond just the email newsletter. Yes, that will be the reason why you stick around, but I'm thinking of doing some sort of 30-day challenge. So Further basically covers personal development. So I'm thinking of something such as develop a new habit in 30 days with the Further challenge. And they register for it, and it's part education, part accountability and interaction, which we can do with a combination of the LMS, the membership features, obviously, which have been around forever, and then the new marketing automation. Now, I haven't got it all down, so this may be, again, one of my free consulting segments when I kick it back to you guys. Anything pop to mind?
Electroshock therapy as
that would be awesome, because right? Like if they don't do it,
that is doable.
Garrett, is that in the next release?
It is doable. It's coming in Rainmaker 2.0.
Yeah, we can totally do that. That would be fun.
I mean, how would you see that working? So you've got obviously modules and lessons for the education that kind of prompts an action. So I want to kick it over to them to do the thing, and then also have a way of testing their understanding of what they've learned before they go do it. Well, again, solidifying that learning.
Yeah, we do have quizzes and assessments coming, but what you could do right now is you can give people encouragement when they take the actions that they're meant to take and nurture them to take those actions if they don't take the actions.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a basic, simple, adaptive content function of the automation, which is, If someone doesn't, you know, respond to this week's or this day's lesson or action item, you can send them one message of encouragement or motivation to do it. If they do it, then you can send them a note of encouragement for having done it and encouraging them to keep going. It's simple, But give over the normal just email autoresponder experience is kind of cool.
Yeah, and that being the point, just so people following along, we're talking about all of this being automated.
Yes. If they do not take the action, I would leave them on the current list, the current autoresponder, which nurtures them and keeps giving them reasons to take the action and encouragement to do it. If they do take the action, I'd put them onto another list that says, well done, congratulations, this is what you need to do next. Keep it going, keep that momentum. So you're always moving people forward or further, and the existing people are getting response to keep it coming. And well, you can give them targeted call to actions as well, because if they're not in the engaged group, you want to keep giving them more nudges and more prompts. And that is not necessarily a sale in terms of dollars. It's a sale in terms of action.
Yeah. So let's kind of tie this up with how this relates back. So yes, I am choosing to do it with a free membership concept, but there's a very good reason for that from a personalization and experience standpoint. And it comes full circle back to this logged in experience. So, you know, early marketing automation or, you know, anything that is an if then situation where you can serve up something custom at its most primitive level obviously can be done. But we now live in a multi-device world. And what happens, Chris, when you cookie someone on the desktop, but they're trying to come back to you on an iPad or their phone?
I saw this over and over again with these big guru launches, the big sales funnels, where I would sign up to something on my phone and I would click the link, I would do everything they asked of me, but I wouldn't view any of the content because I wanted to view it on my desktop. I'd get back to the desktop and it wouldn't let me in because I didn't have the cookie.
Yeah.
And that is frustrating. You're screaming at the screen saying...
See, and that's what I'm saying. That, you know, they talk about web 1.0 and 2.0 or whatever, but I'm really looking at this as the pre-logged in cookie world and a more, much more sophisticated world based on the logged in experience. And again, there's a reason why the social networks are some of the biggest email marketers in the world. And it's all, there's also a reason why they know more about what you do than you do. And it all comes down to this post-cookie world we're living in.
Yeah, and I think it's also that example of the company knowing the customer and knowing what they should know about the customer. A few times I got excited about an upgrade of a product that I already had. Really, they should give you an upgrade price, or they should give you at least a message saying, knowing that you've got version one, this is what you can see different in version two, and this is the reason to buy. And so it's not just that experience of going from device to device. It's also personalize it to me in a way that's good for customer service, and I'm more likely to transact with you.
Right. And also, once you get someone to register, you can do all sorts of things to get them to choose their own adventure, so if you will, you know, select, you know, identify what type of person they are in the context of the site. What do you aspire to do? What's your goal? What's your problem? And then all of a sudden, you can put them on different paths that way as well, which is not the same thing that you can do with other technology.
All right, gents, anything else on marketing automation or adaptive content, or are we going to save it for another time?
Well, Jared Morris and I are doing a webinar on the 27th of April. The post came out on Copyblogger this week, but if you're interested in these new marketing automation and learning management system features that I've been furiously playing with and giving Chris all sorts of wonderful feedback. Because we're, you know, every time we do a release, we're already planning the next release. And that's just good iterative development. We get feedback from customers. I happen to be kind of our prime customer in a lot of ways, in that if I can do it myself with my schedule, then it's working well. So yeah. So if you wanna see a demo of these new features, which are part of the new pro plan. You can't buy the pro plan on the site right now. Existing customers are getting an upgrade option. That's kind of sweet. It's a one-time charge instead of a recurring higher price, which will be when it does go live. So two things you want to do right now. Start your trial of the Rainmaker platform if you don't have it yet. If you're currently a standard customer, you've already been given an opportunity to upgrade. And number three, sign up for this webinar so we can walk you through kind of more of the why. We've touched on some stuff here today, obviously, and then also a direct demonstration of how, all in one free webinar.
You can sign up for the Rainmaker platform at rainmakerplatform.com. That's rainmakerplatform.com. Mr. Clark, thanks for putting all of this together for us today. And we've got a few more of these. What do you think about this little series? A couple more left?
Yeah, I think, we've been getting good feedback. Some, points where people aren't quite getting what we're talking about. Hopefully this episode kind of cleared it up. Even though we jumped all over the place between the enterprise to LinkedIn to what we've been doing for a couple of years, though, I think you can see the pattern. But we'll continue to explore that a bit. If there's anything that you want to know in particular, drop us a note in the comments. I'll make sure and try to get that answered for you. But yeah, I'll be back. I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time. It's not a series or a tactic. It's more like this is how things work, or this is how your prospects, your audience expects things to work. And as the tech gets more sophisticated, it's just going to be an expectation. And I'm just hoping to get people ahead of the curve, because the curve is moving pretty quickly right now.
And if you want to leave a comment on this episode or any other of New Rainmaker, you can do that at newrainmaker.fm. Mr. Garrett, thanks for coming by today and dropping your wisdom. Really appreciate it, man. You got to do this more often.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This was cool.
For those of you who want to catch Chris Garrett and Tony Clark on the mainframe, you can do so at mainframe.fm. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.